welcome to episode 113, that's 113, of A Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We are so glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire you. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you would like to hear about, please let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Laura, and Sandy. We are also joined by my husband, Chris, who has traveled solo himself on many occasions. Yeah. We like to think of ourselves each as the solo traveling pro. I think we've all done it just a little bit. A recent New York Times article outlined some tips on best practices and things to avoid. And we all have our own tips to share as well so that you can go ahead and take this trip solo without the worry. So let's get started. So I think the first thing to get past when you're traveling solo is just the fear of going by yourself. I mean, what are some of those anxieties that you might feel legitimately before you go by yourself? Chris, do you have like something that just pops up?
Well, when the first trip I went solo, when I first went, it was to the UK, which is easy, but I took a side trip by myself to Prague, not speaking a word of Czech. I knew one person there. And so the language barrier was the big thing because you don't really have a safety net. Like even when we just went recently with Paris, you speak some French and you know it was easy, but I spoke no Czech. I had no.
I never heard it before.
I learned a few words while I was there and I assumed they're correct. And I figured out how to ask for orange juice. So I was getting, but the language barrier and figuring out how to get around everywhere, you know, it's a different alphabet. So, mm-hmm. you know, just learning where does this train take me and how do I get back? I think that's a lot of the initial anxiety is just, can I get safely from point A to point B?
It reminds me of one of a tip my dad gave me one time when he was going to Italy on business. And he said that someone told him to grab a matchbook from the hotel so that wherever he went, he could just show that to like the taxi driver or whatever. I don't know if they still give out matchbooks.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, they gave us a business card and they said, make sure you carry this wherever you go so that they can get you back mm-hmm. to the hotel.
So same concept. Yeah. This was in the 80s.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
You know, well, and honestly, it was important. We, you know, you discredit, the first thing you do is you put it in your pocket. You're like, oh, thank you. But honestly, we used it that first night because we didn't have our MiFi that we had rented yet. And we got lost. And we stopped in three places, including the Football Federation of France, to find out where.
Where are we?
It's like, this is a big place. It looks like they might know.
So, somebody speaks English.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
do you guys, I don't know that men think about safety the same way women do. One thing that strikes me is I'm on a Facebook page that's runners, and some woman had made a comment about, you know, something to do with like not wanting to run in this new place because of safety concerns. And all the men were like, God, I never even considered that.
No, that's a completely legitimate point. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, women have to think about that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think men ever think about
that. Completely different mindset. And especially when you're traveling with cultures and different areas, you have to be a little bit more of it, but it definitely shouldn't be a deterrent for you mm-hmm. to travel.
Right.
I think sometimes it's easy to focus on, like, my very first solo trip, I was terrified. I was terrified to go out on my own. It took like a whole day for me to really get my bearings and just to begin feeling comfortable, and to realize that, okay, this is not.
Were you out of the country or was it a big city?
I was with a tour group. I was in Ireland, but I was all on my own for the first day. And Ireland is a really great jumping point if you want to do a solo trip. I think it's one of the safest places in the world to be. And I've had several times since then where I've been out on my own. A little bit different when I travel solo. I'm usually meeting up with someone like, meet up with Sandy for a few days or meet up with a friend for a few days. And then so I'll have periods of days where I'm on my own. And I think in those moments that like it's a different, you have to change your way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And I do think it is different for men than it is for women. I like to take my camera out and really look at the destination that I'm exploring. And that for me was the icebreaker on my first trip, was I focused more on the pictures and on the things that I want to do and kind of push past that fear. Cause I know there is a tendency to be maybe a little afraid or a little uncertain, especially if you're in a place that's completely different from what you're used to. One of the best tips I can offer is to find places that you feel comfortable. Like every place I've ever gone solo, to kind of finding a place that I would normally frequent at home, like a bookstore or coffee shop or
kind of like a Starbucks.
Yeah, not like Starbucks.
Although you can find one in every corner.
Yeah, can't you find those everywhere?
But the key to traveling, whether you're with people or you're by yourself, is to orient yourself and make sure you understand your surroundings. Because, you know, what you're saying about guys and girls looking at it differently is absolutely true. But even in a completely foreign place, guys are going to have that initial uncertainty. It's like, all right, where am I? Mm-hmm. What's around me? How do I get around? And I, you know, like I said, even in the trip we took most recently, you know, it took me a day or two to finally get in my head how everything was laid out so I understood where I was.
But there is a difference, and I see it in him, and I know this is a traveler, and I look for it. I mean, I look a lot at human behavior when traveling. And one of the things Chris will do when we're traveling is, even if he is lost as crud, he looks like he knows where he's going, which has been a problem before, because there have been times where I'm like, where are we? He's like, I don't know, but I'm like, could you have told me at least I'm at a loss so that I could have.
5 minutes ago, I knew where I was.
I thought that we were like on the right track, and I figured you were just taking a different route. And he's like, no, I had no idea. Why didn't you say something? I'm like, because you looked like you knew where you were going.
Well, generally speaking, I know generally where I want to go. It's like, I want to go that direction. I know that's the right direction, because I'll find something that I'll be able to key off of, some sort of point. And so. Yeah. You definitely don't want to look around going, wow, and stare around at the, you know, like the stereotypical traveler to New York is like looking at all the tall buildings. It's like,
That's where you get your pocket
picked. Yeah.
and incidentally, that's like one thing we learned when we were in Paris recently is, although I knew where our hotel was on the Seine, it's hard to see the Seine from anywhere other than right beside the Seine. So until you get there, it's really, you know, like figuring out where you are, especially if the sun is down, is very, very difficult. So yeah, that was, that's a huge thing. One of the things my sister said, and people who travel on business probably already know this trip, but one of the things my sister learned from my father, and I don't travel on business as often as she does, or when I do travel on business, I'm tending to go to a conference or to meet a group of other travel agents or whatever. Yeah. So I'm going into a group. But she travels on business a lot where it's her and she's going to meetings or whatever. The normal behavior that she follows is to find a restaurant to eat at, and she sits at the bar and she eats there. And as a female traveling alone, this is actually, it's one of those places where if my father hadn't given us this advice, I probably wouldn't have done it, because to me, a bar is where you go to get picked up, right? Yeah. That's sort of like but in reality, the bartenders will look after you, and within a few minutes, they'll know why you're there and who you are, you know, at least generally who you are, not maybe by name, and they'll look after you. So, and they'll also introduce you to other people at the bar. So you can meet locals there. And you will actually be a lot safer than if you were to just sit at a table by yourself, where you're not necessarily not safe sitting by yourself, but you're not going to meet anyone from around the area. You're not going to actually engage. So this is a really nice way for you to engage with the community without, you know, talking to a stranger, you know, without the stranger danger factor.
You're never at a bar. I think that's another... You're never lonely at a bar, because I think that's another that's another fear that a lot of people have, is they don't want to be alone. They don't want to. One other thing is, some hotels will even have like tea time, or they'll have a time where you can go out and socialize with your fellow guests at the hotel that you're staying at. And that's a great way to kind of meet other travelers. You had mentioned, Chris, before about transportation, knowing where you're going. One of the best trips I've ever read is to spend some time familiarizing yourself with the hours of the transportation, not just the routes. Sure. So you know if you're in a part of the city where maybe the transportation cuts off at a certain time and you won't be able to get back to where it happened. So you're thinking ahead of time, how am I getting back to my hotel?
Yep.
That's absolutely a great point.
Yep. And also taking a look at the transportation maps before you go. You know, it was really easy for us as a family to go down in the metro every day and look at the maps, but there were four of us. When you're by yourself doing that, whether you're male or female, that says, I'm traveling by myself and I'm not sure where I'm going. Yeah. And I'm lost. And it sort of opens you up.
I would say, like, the best tip of all for safety is if you don't feel safe, if you don't feel safe taking the metro or taking the tube or taking whatever, if you don't feel safe, take a taxi, mm-hmm. pay the extra money. It's worth your peace of mind. And you're going to enjoy yourself a lot more without having that.
And if you are truly touring, well, and even if you're there on work, if you have some time before, one of our favorite things to do whenever we get to a new city in the United States or elsewhere is to take a hop on, hop off bus. And mm-hmm. sometimes we'll actually hop on and hop off. And sometimes we'll just ride it around. When we went to Hong Kong, we actually had a Wi-Fi enabled iPad and we followed the route of the bus on maps
yeah.
to watch where we were going. So we could get, I mean, it's an island. It's not that big. So we could really get an idea of where we were. And then once you've done the circuit, you know, you have it for 24 hours or 48 hours, depending on your ticket. Yeah. And then once you've done that circuit, then you can start hopping on and hopping off. But it gives you a really good idea. And the commentary is in several languages, so you can do that. So our kids really love doing that in Paris. It gives you a nice, friendly way. And as opposed to the metro, which is all underground, so you can't really see where you're going, being up above ground, even when there's traffic or anything like that, you're getting to see the city and sort of get oriented and not only see where you are at that moment, but then see, especially if it's a double decker, you can look out and see, yes, you're on a tourist bus. There's no doubt about it. I'm on the big red bus, yeah. But you can see around you and you right. can really see where you are.
And it's great obviously to see the city, but I think that orientation is really the key mm-hmm. is once you yeah. know where you are, then you can start finding your way places. Whether it's like, I'm in the middle of the city, I need to get back to my hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As long as you know where you are in relation to that, that is a big win.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things are going to feel much of the city is going to not feel so big and scary
right.
and you're going to be exactly. more comfortable in your surroundings.
So what advice do you have if you're going someplace that's really foreign to you? Like maybe like you guys both had mentioned earlier, Turkey, you know,
yeah.
before the podcast.
I think it's important to know the culture, and especially as a woman traveling, I think, you know, the world is different than it is in the United States. And you can say all you want, you know, about anything you feel endangered or whatever, but people treat people differently in different cultures. And it's very important that you know that. And my sister before has recommended the book Kiss, Bow, and Shake Hands.
Yep.
I think it's really a key thing, especially if you're going into a culture that you are not as familiar with, to maybe brush up a little bit. Because when I went to Turkey, I went with a girlfriend, and we were not, it was mainly a trip to Greece. Turkey was sort of a side stop. And I was very excited. We went to Istanbul. We went to Kusadasi. We saw the city of Troy. We had some really jarring experiences there. One was when we were at Ephesus, which was, it was 108 degrees that day. We stopped for a soda at the concession stand. And even the women, you know, we were dressed in tank tops because that's what we're used to wearing. And mm-hmm. they're not used to seeing that. And they actually patted my friend on the hips like she was a horse for sale. And they moved her mouth, like, to look at her teeth.
Oh, my God.
I have no idea what they were saying. But wow. it was, you know, and, you know, you don't know what to do in that situation. They didn't harm her. And there was a woman doing this, incidentally. It yeah. wasn't men. There was a woman there. And so, you know, it might be an isolated incident, but I'm sure that there is some, you know, we were not dressed appropriate. We were dressed
for the heat.
That
reminds me of
but
do you remember that show on MTV that was, it was like The Real World, but it was where they drove around in a big bus and they got to, so they were in Africa. You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, they went to Morocco.
Road rules.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And they went to Morocco and the girls were walking around in short shorts and stuff. People started throwing rocks at them. And I remember thinking, you know, so they have these MTV cameras and it's supposed to be like real life and they're not supposed to step in, but I couldn't believe they didn't give them any kind of background on what the culture really was like and what,
yeah.
you know, I mean, because
it comes down to being an informed traveler, whether you're yeah. on your own or with other people, is really
yeah.
looking into your destination.
Yeah.
When I was in Turkey, I had uncomfortable moments, but I had a completely different experience because I knew before I went how I had to dress. And I knew I had guidelines of what, you know, was appropriate for where I was going. But I still had that. I don't know. I think now I would feel comfortable going. Well, not now, obviously, but
yeah.
if I had been me now, then I would have been comfortable going to Ephesus by myself or going on that tour that I went on by myself. But I was, at the time I was with my husband, and I was very, yet not a seasoned traveler, and I felt very out of my element.
Well, and I was used to, I had been to Italy even as a teenager, and I was used to going into churches where I had to like put on a, you know, a scarf or whatever. And those options were there in Turkey, but there were mosques I couldn't even go into. And as an American, I just don't, we're just not used to that yeah. type of thing.
So it's something to really consider that when you're not in America, you can't act like you're in America.
Right, exactly.
You need to be respectful. You yeah. need to. I mean, we went into the Blue Mosque, and I mean, we saw people were there. You just, you have to be mindful, and you have to be mindful in general of your surroundings and respectful of other people. And one of the other things I wanted to mention before I forget is a great tip I read somewhere, and I can't remember. It was an internet site. I think it was, I don't think it was Rick Steves. It was like another solo travel site. But they were talking about how the importance of, if you are by yourself and you're completely alone, this might not be as pertinent for men as it is for women, to give yourself a little, more purpose when you're traveling, journal. Take a journal with you. Have your days planned out. Journal where you're going. Keep in contact. You know, you mentioned your MiFi or Wi-Fi that you have. Make sure you're touching base with people. And share your plans with your friends or family before you leave. Mm-hmm. So people will know kind of where you are.
I think that's valid for men or women. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've met solo travelers, you know, now that we're traveling as a couple, we've met solo travelers who, men even, who every now and then take a guided tour. You know, you may want to do a lot of things on your own, and that's fantastic, but there are some times where a guided tour may benefit you, and it's both for the human contact, just so you don't go nutso, and then also just so that every now and then you're in touch with other people, so that, you know, you're making contact with people who are also traveling. If you're backpacking or something like that, it's just really good. When we went to Dachau, there was a gentleman who was traveling solo, and he was at the end of, I think he said 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I was like, are you enjoying traveling by yourself? He said, you know, I was, now I'm kind of lonely, yeah. You know, it's getting lonely. So he was sort of glad to be on a tour, and especially someplace like Dachau, where it's just good to be among other human beings who are living and, you know, and breathing. I think it's a real way to connect. And then, you know, it was a small group. It wasn't like he was joining up with a million other people. And it gave him a way to sort of see something through the eyes of other people as well at the same time.
Thing that may seem kind of blatantly obvious, but is good to think about, you know, and that ties in with a story from my own life, is that my sister was going to Quito, Ecuador, and she was going to be doing some backpacking, and I had a backpack from hiking in the Adirondacks, and I said, I'll send you mine. And she's like, oh, that would be great. That would be amazing. And she's not one to kind of... And she got my backpack and she called me, and I won't share all of her words of wisdom with you because they wouldn't be fit for human ears. But basically, the backpack I had from being in the Adirondacks when I was 14 was an American flag backpack. And she quickly said, you know, basically, thanks for kind of putting a bullet on my back, yeah. You know, putting a big target on my back that says, I am a foreigner.
Yeah.
I don't belong here. You know, and just for folks who have things that say USA or Team USA, or you just might not want to bring it.
You yeah. get one with the Canadian flag on it. Everyone loves the Canadians.
Especially with their hot new prime minister.
well, and we coached my son a little bit before we went to France, because one of the things we do is we give him a soccer jersey from every country that we visit. He gets one if he goes, but we also, like when we went to Amsterdam, we got him the national soccer jersey for the Netherlands team. It's fantastic here, but I said, you can't wear every country's soccer jersey when you're abroad, because they take soccer like it's a life and death kind of thing, and you can't do that They will, because they'll question you about it, and they'll, and so, yeah, then, then anything he wore, my daughter just completely questioned, because, she didn't want to be American at all. She decided she was totally Euro.
That's one of the points of the tuckiness, is dressed like a local.
Dressed like a local.
And she did look like she fit in.
We bought her a really nice jacket that was very European, but, yeah, we talked about t-shirts, you know, Europeans do not, and it was interesting because we told the kids this and they're like, okay, but when we got there, they really saw it. So I bought Marcus all these long sleeve shirts that he wasn't used to wearing. He normally wears t-shirts and soccer jerseys.
I have to give up my jeans and sneakers, my jeans comfy and sneakers shoes. Are probably
fine. Yeah, I did wear denim and yeah.
Southern accent.
Yeah. The Southern accent, yes.
Don't have a Southern accent.
There were a couple of times where Marcus said mercy, and yeah.
Mercy the coup.
Athena was really upset about it, but yeah. And she didn't like how loudly he spoke on the subway. She's like, don't, because he was just very obvious to be there. But then again, there's lots of people on the subway who speak English. And, you know, honestly, the whole thing about Paris being unfriendly is not necessarily true. But I will say that you do want to be as respectful to the actual culture of where you are as possible. Yeah.
Well, and some of what was going on is a difference in age between where she is and where he is.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You are absolutely correct.
She's very teenage girl.
Yes.
Now, I mean, I've got a crush on your son. I just think he's adorable. I would have the best time with him. It's like I want him to be my seatmate in Ireland. You know, he was joyful and fun and engaged, and you know. But so I think some of that was going on. It's her need to kind of
You are correct.
You know,
yes. My daughter is the brooding poet. Yes, no doubt about it. But yeah, I do think dressing, at least trying to dress a little bit more, a little less American and a little bit more generic is.
You don't have to necessarily fit in, but you don't want to stand out.
Right. Exactly.
And you know, the money belts and all that stuff is great, but you really kind of sometimes some of those things you do draw more attention to yourself when you're, wearing
a fanny pack.
Yeah, you kind of don't want to.
No fanny packs. Fanny packs do
no
not.
No fanny packs. And I mean, of course, all the basic things that we probably don't have to say to anybody that is listening, but don't go to the ATM at night. Go to the busiest street. Go to the one on the busiest street, the busiest time of day in broad daylight. Go use that one. All the common sense things. I mean, take a book with you. You don't have to, you know, keep your chin up too, because your attitude when you are traveling, these people don't know you. You could just be someone going for lunch or going for dinner. You know, if you don't draw attention to yourself as a tourist, you're giving yourself unwanted attention, but you're also going to be able to, I think, blend in and feel more comfortable, and you're going to be able to enjoy the culture more and enjoy your travels, because that's what you're there for. You're there to kind of immerse yourself in the culture and the experience. And so I think sometimes this the basic common sense safety is going to get you where you need to go.
Yes. I think if you're traveling to meet someone, which a lot of times when you're solo traveling, you're going to see your friend who lives in Switzerland or whatever, go see them very first. Like, that should be the beginning of your trip, because that will also introduce you to the culture and make you feel more comfortable in the culture. So that then when you can extend, if you're going to extend your trip after and say, okay, well, while I'm in Switzerland, I'm going to see Italy, Austria, and Germany. Okay, great. But at least you've been in a comfortable environment and you've had time to adjust to the time and all those things that make you a little bit more vulnerable as a solo traveler. Do your visit first, and get, you know, be with your people and your comfort zone first, and then go out. And then one of the other bullet points you had on here that I think was in the New York Times article was splurge on a hotel.
Yeah.
This is actually really key, because a lot of people say, oh, I'm just traveling by myself. I'm going to do it super cheap. I'm going to stay in the like 2-star resorts.
Or if you're really young, stay in a hostel or something.
Yeah, I'd be staying in a hostel. I'm going to backpack. Okay, this is great, but your nicer hotels are going to be
centrally located,
and they're going to be super comfortable. And honestly, when you're by yourself, sometimes having the most comfortable bed to sleep in at night is going to make all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go for the 5-star, but you know, maybe go for the 3 or 4 instead of the 1 or the 2, because having a bathroom to yourself. I mean, honestly, at some point,
yeah, you don't think about that in America.
Really, because you're gonna be on your own all the time, and you're gonna be like hyper aware, male or female. You're gonna be hyper aware all the time. I'm by myself. I don't know anybody else here, and I'm going from point A, and even I'm going from the British Museum to Westminster Abbey, and you know, and you're in English speaking kit, but you don't know anybody else there, so you're gonna be in like business mode, and so to be able to then at the end of the day, just say, I can take my shower in peace, and I can that, and I have a robe and slippers, even better.
And
you
a concierge.
Yeah.
Not only that, that one of the benefits of staying in a nicer hotel is that you have a resource there. You have a concierge. You have someone. The hotel staff is going to take care of you. They're going to give you pointers. They're going to tell you. They want you to have a good time. Mm-hmm. They want you to have a safe time. And they're going to give you what you need to kind of help facilitate that. So I think that's something even here in the U.S., I mean, the difference between going to Motel 6 and...
Exactly. And so when your travel agent recommends a 3 or 4 star, know that, you know, starting at 3 star is where you start getting concierge services. And that's not always the key. 4 star is where you're guaranteed to have concierge services. So that's, you know, when, 4 star sounds all fancy and you're like, we don't need all that. It's not really all that. It's actually some of the basic things that you really do need when you're traveling abroad. And especially when you're by yourself, that can be a serious resource. That's also the place that's going to have a bar and a restaurant for you to sit in, and have the bartender be able to, you know, understand when you ask for Angela. So.
And not only that, like be able to tell you their favorite restaurants. I mean, my last solo trip, I had one of the most amazing meals of my life based on the recommendation of the bartender. being able to have those kind of interactions.
And I think that's the great thing about traveling too, is when you talk to locals, you find out things. And many of our best experiences traveling, I think all of us have been when we heard something from somebody that we didn't plan on doing, but you know, we heard it. Yeah. While we were there.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any like last minute tips on?
I have one that's specific to Dubai. Okay. So if you are a female traveling in Dubai, the pink taxis are driven by women. So you can hop into the pink taxis. They're for women, driven by women.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I had a friend doing a business trip there, so I kind of looked up a little bit of stuff for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, that's one of the countries I would definitely do research on too.
Yeah, I think, and I, with that said, I think, I mean, I have a female cousin who's living in Beirut right now. I mean, you can go anywhere. You just need to be ready to do it.
Yeah. And if you're in an area where you think is a little more dangerous, or, you know, the CIA has said, hey, this is not a great place to travel right now, we just want to go, make sure you know how to contact the U.S. consulate. Make sure you know where
register
it is.
Register that you're going. You know, just you can register.
Understand where your safety valves are.
Yeah.
And that should be the first place you go if you are a victim of a crime or anything like that, is go to your U.S. consulate. Go there first.
Don't go to the locals.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. Not only that, if you're traveling solo and you're visiting quite a few different destinations, like let's say in Europe, and you're hopping around and you kind of want, and if you're younger, college campuses are a great place to go where you feel like you don't stick out like a sore thumb. And actually, if you're looking for a safe place, convent areas.
Did you say convent?
Yes. Areas surrounding convents.
Keep your stranger danger up, though. I mean, just because you're in Europe doesn't mean everybody suddenly...
Yeah, don't get wasted by yourself and, like, talk about how drunk you are.
Right. That's good advice anyway. You can't do that while you're by yourself in here.
Generally, that's a bad idea, period.
This year is a t-shirt that says, don't get wasted.
Now from outlandertravel.com. All right. On that note, I think the way that I'd like to end this podcast, though, is to say you can travel solo. You can, absolutely. I'm going to say it in like some weird voice. You can travel solo. You just need to be ready to do it.
Yeah. Do your due diligence.
Yes. And you can. Whether you are male or female, you can do it. You just need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. Right before you go. Everybody agree?
Yep.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Traveling solo can be fun.
Absolutely. Yes. It can be the best ever. Yes, it can be the best ever.
It's exciting. It pushes, I know for me, it's pushed me out of my comfort zone so many times. I've met so many amazing people all over the world that I would never, ever, ever have talked to had I been there with my husband. Yes. Had I been in Puerto Rico with my husband, I wouldn't have had the experience I had. I've been in Cuba with him. You know, they had sometimes when you are with someone, all of your attention is devoted to them. And that's great if you're going on a family trip or traveling with friends. But sometimes it's also nice to make new connections.
Sometimes it's so nice to be by yourself.
No comment.
So that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, click podcast at the top of the page, and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or you can just search for Fly Away on Facebook as well. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Lindsay, Sandy, Laura, Chris, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.